Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Tomorrow is their future. But for me, it's just another day. They all gather around me. They seem to know my name. We laugh, tell a few jokes, but it still doesn't ease my pain. I know I can't have from a memory, though day after day I've tried. I keep saying, she'll be back. But today, again, I ride.
Why? Tell me, have you seen her?
I'm looking for a letter or something, anything that she would send. With all the people I know, I'm still a lonely man. You know, it's funny. I thought I had her in the palm of my hand.
Yes, it's Friday, April 25th, 2014, 2 days after my birthday. Happy birthday to me. That's right. Happy birthday to me. And all I want to say is that I want to thank all the cards and letters that came in, saying that they were so glad that I was able to speak to them, and we talked, and a lot of people were, I mean to tell you, I had a lot of good, great cards. That was fabulous. Now, wait a minute. No, let's don't be laughing out there. But we have a lot of things that we're going to be talking about today. We have a lot of things that we can talk about today. And you know, we have, and I was staying away from this story because there are more pressing things in this life than someone who we all know about. See, I thought Cliven Bundy was African-American because all I heard about is that he's, dogging it. He ain't paying his taxes. He's living on the dough. I mean, because isn't that what all African-Americans do? Live on the dough? But he's not. And guess who was that's why I was so worried about it, because, Sean Hannity was defending him. I mean, just listen to Sean Hannity.
There is major concern that the federal government could be eyeing yet another massive land grab. This time, it's northern Texas. Now, the state's Attorney General Greg Abbott is warning that the BLM wants to seize over 90,000 acres of land near the Red River, close to the border of Oklahoma. There is shocking new video of the destruction left behind by the Bureau of Land Management after it took over Cliven Bundy's ranch. According to online reports, a former Nevada sheriff claims that his sources inside the federal government say that the Bureau of Land Management may be quietly planning to raid the Bundy Ranch. Frankly, I thought there was a lack of proportionality here by the government and snipers and surrounding your ranch and taking your cattle. None of it made any sense, and I think there's got to be a more peaceful way. Do you worry that, in fact, they may kill either your dad or somebody in your family?
This Sean Hannity is such a moron. For someone who is such a daggone coward who wouldn't even put on a uniform in peacetime, he's talking about snipers. Well, the only snipers that were there were these cowboy snipers. The federal government didn't have snipers there. And why did the federal government go to this place Why did they go to this man's ranch? Because he owes $1 million. Now, you don't go there with a three-piece suit after you've been in court for at least 10 times and were told you need to pay the money. He has lost every single court appearance. He has not won one. This is over 20 years. So you don't send somebody there in a three-piece suit. You don't send somebody. Did Elliot Ness send his accountant to Al Capone's place to say, pay me or I'm going to put handcuffs on you? Did he? No. Al Capone is tempered with this guy. Al Capone at least had a lawyer that talked to the feds. This man talks with his cows behind him. And that's another thing. This ain't his property. This is not his property. He lost every on the local. He lost on the. He lost in the state, and he lost on the federal level. This is federal property. But this man says he doesn't recognize the United States government. Okay, that's fine. He doesn't have to recognize the United States government. Then why does he use United States coin and currency to pay bills? Why does he sit on that daggone, that fat punk, sit on a daggone horse with 50 stars on an American flag? Why is that? How can that be if he does not recognize the United States of America? He should be sitting on that horse with one star on it, Nevada. He don't believe states? How can you believe in states? I mean, this makes no common sense. So then we have Sean Hannity again. Listen.
You know, Clive, I've gotten to know you now over this, as this controversy is unfolding. You and your family seem like really nice people.
Yeah, I got to know you. You're really nice people. He just liked George Bush. He looked into Putin's eyes, saw his heart. That's what this fool. Here's something else Hannity did.
His comments are beyond repugnant to me.
Okay, now, I don't want to play it yet. Now, Sean Hannity has been the cheerleader for this guy ever since we first heard about him. Why? Because this guy, Cliven Bundy, does not like a black man in the White House. So right away, and see, you don't have to say, I don't like a black man in the White House. You don't have to say it. All you have to say is states' rights, and you know what that means. Anybody who quotes state rights to you is a racist, because that's the only thing states' rights were good for. And I'm saying it. The only thing states' rights were good for is to keep blacks like myself and others in slavery. That's all it was good for. That's all it was good for. And then you have these clowns like Sean Hannity who say, that's not true. You're a racist by saying it. Oh, yes, that's right. We're the racists, the people who don't even have a pot to you-know-what in, we're the racists. I mean, it's so unbelievable that it's beyond the pale. It's so unbelievable, it's beyond the pale. And we have different things that are going on every day, and people will just use every single thing that they can to push the button of racism. And it has gotten so out of hand, it is beyond belief. We have had on the show many a person that has been absolutely, positively racist. Many a person. And I have never seen someone as racist as this Clive Bundy. Just to me, it's just amazing that this person could be. I just can't believe that these people, these conservatives jumped all their feet right into this mash of garbage without even checking this person out. They all just jump right in. It's, oh, yeah, we got to go along with him. And the reason why they're going along with him because the code words they recognize, the code words of hate, of why you do not like a black man, why you don't like blacks. The code words are all there. As I was just saying before about state sovereignty, that's nothing but a code word. That is nothing but a code word. When you talk about the government is taking my rights away, he's engraving on that yen, on that land for 20 years and has not ever, ever paid for it. Not paid for it because he says, I only recognize the county of Nevada. Now, here's the problem. Do you actually believe he said that if the county of Nevada came to arrest me, I would go. I would go with them. But I don't recognize the United States government. Now, this is the problem. Do you actually believe that this man would go to the county of Nevada, the sheriff of the county of Nevada, if he came to arrest him? Do you actually believe that when the sheriff was standing right next to him, and I understand why the sheriff was standing next to him at that rally. I understand it 100% why the sheriff stood next to him and didn't say a word, yet he was talking about that he wanted the sheriff to go into town and arrest any federal agents that was there, any federal agents. Well, you know, there's a in the 1800s, I don't want to get this right because I didn't look it up, the 1860s, I believe, they passed in the South something called Posse Comitatus. What that did was is give the sheriff the absolute power anywhere that law was. He was the only law. He was the only law. So now we have, he says that that's what he's hiding behind, Posse Comitatus, that the only person that has the legal right to do anything is the sheriff, because the sheriff has more power than anybody. But I am getting ready to play for you what this fool said that started this whole thing. Just let me play this a little bit for you.
Harry, get your army out of Nevada. Get your army away from my ranch and off Clark County public land and keep it out. And if they come, we'll deal with them tonight. Every county sheriff across the United States disarm the federal bureaucrats. Take the federal United States bureaucrats' guns away. I do break federal laws, evidently, if they're really laws. These feds, I don't recognize their jurisdiction or authority, so no, I wouldn't go with them.
Now, he said, he does not recognize the United States laws. If he doesn't recognize the United States, why does he use U.S. currency? Why does he use U.S. currency? See, he's claiming that this is a wild, the part he's in right near the Red River, it's all wild and nobody owns that. That's why, because we've been grazing there for 20 years. Well, you know what? The law that made that estate was made by the U.S. government, and that was in 1848, something around that. He's only been grazing on it since 1948. So 100 years previously, the U.S. said that's our territory. That portion, the portion that he's in. He doesn't recognize the United States, but he rides a horse and has a flag with him that's got 50 states. What is it? He couldn't find one with one star on it? I mean, I don't understand this. Now, what got everybody in the tizzy, I'm going to play for you next. Just listen to this.
I want to tell you one more thing I know about the Negro. When I go to Las Vegas, North Las Vegas, and I would see these little government houses, and in front of that government house, the door was usually open, and the older people and the kids, and there's always at least a half a dozen people sitting on the porch. They didn't have nothing to do. They didn't have nothing for their kids to do. They didn't have nothing for their young girls to do. And because they were basically on government subsidy, and so now what do? They abort their young children. They put their young men in jail because they never learned how to pick cotton. And I've often wondered, are they better off as slaves picking cotton, having family life and doing things, or are they better off under government subsidy? Yeah, they did get no more freedom. They got less freedom.
Now, I never picked no damn cotton. The only cotton I seen was when cotton comes to Harlem. Only cotton I seen. But I want to tell you something right now. This is what got me riled up about this. This man, as I said before, all these conservatives who jumped on his bandwagon, the Sean Hannitys who put this man in the spotlight, Sean Hannity, who said just recently, oh, don't worry, he said, Clyde, he said that. The government comes back. Let me just play for you what Sean said he'd do.
I fear, guys, this is not over. I would take Harry Reid's admonition warning seriously. And if I was scheduled to be out there tonight, if this didn't end this weekend, if they come back, I'll be out there with you.
Now, this is what he said. That's what Sean Hannity said. What the government, the Bureau of Land Development, Bureau of Land Management said, hey, we're not going to have no firefight over this. We're not going to have a firefight over this. And which I don't have the clip of, the guy was on national television last night, yesterday afternoon. That's these militia that were out there with him, saying that we had a plan. We were going to put all the women in front of us. And if they started firing, they had to be firing right at the women. And if that didn't work, we put the children in front. I mean, it is completely immoral what this fool says and does completely. And now, I mean, you had Ted Cruz on his bandwagon, the governor, this guy, Governor Abbott, Senator Abbott, who's running for governor in Texas. You had the governor of Texas on his bandwagon. Of course, you had Sean Hannity, but you know who you didn't have? You didn't have Glenn Beck. Now, how is that even possible? Because you know what Glenn Beck said? Glenn Beck said, the man is a tax dodger, and he needs to go with the rest of them. How can you ever believe that Glenn Beck would be the voice of reason? How is that even remotely possible? But yet, it was. So, ladies and gentlemen, there is a Santa Claus, and there is a God. If Glenn Beck was against someone who we know is against Obama. And then I want to play this other little clip for you that Sean Hannity, and I'll be right with you, caller, that Sean Hannity was saying, because he knows he's the one to help get started. Listen.
In my mind, there's no doubt the fact that so many people showed up to support you, and I would even argue a little bit that the media coverage that myself and some other people have given to this case played a part in this, because none of it made sense.
None of it made sense. None of it made sense. Absolutely correct. And now what does he do, Sean Hannity? Just listen.
His comments are beyond repugnant to me. They are beyond despicable to me. They are beyond ignorant to me. Really?
Really? Unbelievable. So it was all right that he could talk about the government don't count, all these other government people who ran for office as senators, as governors, and as state senators, and assembly people, said we need to get rid of this federal government because the black helicopters are coming. That's fine. But as soon as he starts talking about Negroes, and I said I didn't forget about talking about that Negro portion, because that's not what he said. We will get to that after we get to this caller right here. Hello, caller. Who's this? Hello?
Okay. Hi, sir.
Yes. Ah, oh, you need to be listening. Hello there.
I'm listening. I've been listening. I've been
listening
to what you've been playing. I want to talk about the new voting the new rules for voting.
Oh, yeah. Well, how about the Arkansas judge just knocked down those voter ID laws in Arkansas? How about that?
That's right.
I haven't even got to that yet. Oh, yeah. The Arkansas judge vetoes state voter ID law.
Okay, but we got to keep working on North Carolina. But for right for this election,
let's talk about these voter ID laws. Tell me something about them.
Okay, you know we got some new rules for voting, voter ID in 2016. We'll need to show a voter ID at the polls. But let's talk about the voting now.
We'll be voting
May the 6th, you know. Election.
Uh-huh.
Anybody, election officials will ask if you have one. And that's the tricky thing. But you do not have to show it to vote. Now they have some cards that we got to inform people of, and this is something new. When they walk in, it's a blue card that they can get. If they don't have one, and what they do need to do is sign that blue card to let them know that they're going to get one, because now is the time to make sure that you have the right kind of ID. So it's a card
What kind of ID do you need?
Oh, you know you got to have something with your picture on. You have to have that proper identification, a driver's license, or you go to DMV and they can give you one. But right now,
wait a minute. I got one from the Aqua Center down here. Is that good? With my picture on it.
Did you have to show any identification?
No, I got my picture on it, and it says member of the Aqua Center for 15 years.
No. That will not do.
Uh huh. Well, what are the rules that what kind of ID do you have to have? Will they accept?
You got to get one that's certified. Okay. You can't just be any ID. It got to be certified, vendified, and the right one. Now, to vote, citizens must first register. Let's talk about that.
Okay. Hold on.
Like libraries at high schools, if you register. And don't vote, you're still registered, okay?
Before we get there, just a minute. Who does it have to be certified, the voter ID?
The state.
The state, okay. It can't be certified. You can't have a city ID?
Where would you get a city? I don't know where you would get a city ID from. Michael, what I'm doing, I'm reading this from the rules that we have been that's been passed out by the Board of Elections. Now, if there are exceptions to those rules, those are things that the Board of Elections would have to tell us. I'm just reading them exactly from what they have distributed.
Okay. Go ahead.
It has to be official. Mm-hmm. And it has to be from an official source. And they have told you where it must come from. So we have to follow the law, and the law is that it is written. There could be exceptions. And it can be challenged, but right now we follow, and we want to be safe because we don't want to get there and say, hey, I got a fishing license. I got a hunting license. We want to follow it and do what they say do. And if we challenge it.
Now, in some states, I don't know, is it correct here in North Carolina that if you're a member of the NRA, that that's a good license?
Voting?
If you're an NRA member.
I don't know. No. Didn't they tell you what? No, we have to follow what they have told us to do. Now, that could be challenged later on, but right now.
Okay.
We're going to do what the state requires. And and we want to be safe. We don't want people to come up with exceptions and get nullified when they get there. So here's some other things. Students may register at a campus address if you view it as a home or another address where you intend to return. Register in just one place. And that's real important for students. Registering in one place. Okay?
Okay. You register on campus?
Of course, we're in early voting because I saw you at early voting. How was that turnout?
Well, they said that it was it was about average for early turnout, but it was better than what they thought.
How was the climate when you were there?
It was very nice and everything. And she asked me, she said, do you have an ID? And I said, yes. And she just went on with the next race. She didn't ask me for it, but I wasn't going to show it to her anyway. I wanted her to ask me to show it. I was going to rip her up if she did. But she didn't. She didn't ask me that, and she was very. Everybody there was ultra polite. I had one of my grandsons with me, And she said, you want him to vote for you? I said, yes, I want him to vote for me, and I'm going to show him how to do it. So everything was very nice and polite.
Okay, you know what it says. How old is the grandson that helped you vote?
5.
Okay, a family member can help you vote. A voter with a disability or reading hardship due to language or vision may get help from anyone but your employee or union agent. If you mess up a ballot, return it to the official for a new one. So somebody can help you vote. So it was all right for the grandson to help you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But, you know, we didn't have a ballot because it was all electronic.
Michael, you could get curbside. Aren't you handicapped?
I'm handicapped. That's right. Now, where is that? Where is the curbside? Do you have a machine? How does that work?
They'll come out, but you have to let them know. See, if the voting room isn't accessible due to your age or disability, you may vote at the curb or in a vehicle. They will bring it out, but you have to let them know. And they'll bring that ballot out. They could have brought it out to you, and you and your grandson could have still voted.
I should have put my handicap sticker in the car and tell somebody to go in there, hey, I need a ballot.
Mm-hmm.
Like a ditch. Okay. So what else now are they going to
You said if you will be asked if you have one of these photo IDs at the polls, okay? Let me tell you what they are. You just asked me. Let me tell you. A North Carolina driver's license or an ID card issued by the North Carolina DMV, a U.S. military or veteran's ID, a U.S. passport or enrollment card from a federal or North Carolina recognized tribe.
Okay.
Don't have one of these, then get a free ID from DMV. Or you go to
Go back over. You say the ID is free?
Get a free ID from DMV. That's what it says.
Oh, my gosh. Hey.
Or you go to that website, got2dmv.org. And that's right, a Freeman. Now, listen to this again. A North Carolina driver's license or ID issued by the North Carolina DMV. So they can give you, the DMV can give you an ID. Or U.S. military or veteran's ID. Have you been in the military?
Absolutely. You know, I'm a military Vietnam vet.
Then you got a lot of money.
Oh, I do? Gee whiz. I'll tell my other Vietnam vets when I speak to them.
Huh?
I'll tell my other vets when I speak to them that we got a lot of money.
Enrollment from a federal or North Carolina recognized tribe. You're not an Indian, are you?
No. Yes.
No.
Cherokee on my grandmother's side. My mother's side.
If they get that, so those are the, those. When she asked you, did you have an ID? You said you didn't say no.
I said yes, and just kept on moving. And she didn't ask me.
You said no. Nothing would have happened to you.
Of course not. Now here's the other thing. Now suppose I'm a policeman. Is my policeman ID good?
Only these that just listed. Are you a policeman?
I'm saying suppose a policeman, you know, didn't drive and he had his police ID. He's got his badge number on it. He's got his face number on it, fingerprint on it, and that's not good. I mean, something wrong with this picture.
Is that what they're saying?
No, that's what I'm saying. This is a question I'm asked because I'm going to ask some other people about that. I think this is too vague what they're saying here because there's a lot of good IDs. And if they don't recognize the city ID, there's something wrong with that.
I think you're absolutely right. I think this will be challenged. You know, people challenge it all the time. And
right,
I think there's a challenge going on now in court, but we have to wait till things go through the court system.
Where are you running for in North Carolina? What are you running for? Yes.
Me? George Waddell?
Yes, George Waddell.
North Carolina Senate District 40, in your district. Aren't you in 40?
I sure am.
Okay, in your district.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to take up a lot of your time. You only gave me 10 minutes. Don't you have somebody else waiting?
I'll give you a little more. Because you're my
10 minutes is good, and I'll check with you another Friday, okay?
That works for me. George
Waddell,
North Carolina District 40.
Senate District 40. Let me talk about Senate District 40. We talk about gerrymandering, Michael. And this district was gerrymandered.
Right.
You know where it starts?
Where does it start at?
down there on Bates Ford Road.
Mm-hmm. It starts, and then it starts, and then it comes on down, comes on around, and goes as far as Mint Hill.
Oh, that's Jerry.
So it's a lot of precincts. Some of the precincts are split. See, like you start there with Cochran Middle. Then it goes on the Grove Presbyterian, Randolph, First Ward, Hawthorne, Billingsville. See, Cole Memorial. Comes back up there to Sugar Creek.
The people listening around the world here don't know any of those places. So
it goes along that 485 corridor. It goes in the inner city, right in the heart of uptown.
Right, absolutely.
And then it goes all the way down to a small town called Mint Hill.
How many people in the district?
Approximately 178,000.
Okay, very good.
So it's a big district, but let me tell you what they did. They gerrymandered it.
Yep, of course.
And they gerrymandered it so it would favor what they wanted it to look like. Some here and some there, just, you know, all around here and there. But at any rate, when the majority party has the advantage, they can do what they want because they have the vote. So what we need to do is continue to work with what we have. And when this changes, of course, you know, when the next party gets in control, then they can change it. But sometimes work with what you got.
Well, what we need to do is get rid of this gerrymandering and have a master, a judge, do the drawing so it makes it fair. That's what we need to do. It needs to be a judge, a master, that would do the drawing of the districts, and we would never have this problem again.
You're right about that. I'm going to sign off now, and I'll talk to you next Friday.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye.
Joyce Waddell.
Senate District 40.
Senate District 40.
The only one who is currently holding an elected office. I know what it is to serve because I'm currently serving. I'm a public servant. I'm the only one running of the five people, four men and one woman.
You are on the Board of Elections, the Board of Education here in Charlotte.
That's right. And I've been on there. I've already served one four-year term on my second four-year term. So the only one that's currently serving in an elected capacity. But I'll sign off now, and I'll stay tuned for you next Friday. Be blessed.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. I'll still be listening.
Bye-bye. Okay, she's still listening. And let me just get into it. We're going to get back to Mr. Cliven one day, because he's always good to get back to. But let's talk about this Arkansas judge who voided the state voter ID law. An Arkansas judge struck down the state's new voter ID law on Thursday, saying it violates the state constitution by adding requirements that voters must meet before they cast a ballot. Polinski County criminal judge Tim Fox voided the measure in a lawsuit over the way absentee ballots are handled under the law. A separate lawsuit has been filed last week directly challenging the law, which requires voters to show photo ID before casting a ballot. The law is declared void and unenforceable, Fox wrote in his ruling. The Republican-led legislature approved the law last year, overriding a veto of the Democratic governor, Mike Beebe, with a single, simple majority vote in the House and Senate. And it was said that it was aimed at reducing voter fraud. Now, voter fraud is just like saying some of my best friends are black. Same thing. If you guys say some of your best friends are black, that means you don't have any black friends. And if you guys say voter law, voter fraud, because there is no voter fraud. It's the same thing. The Attorney General, Duskin McDaniel, a Democrat, says the State Board of Election Commission had asked McDaniel's office to appeal Thursday's ruling, and it will do so. We just received the court's decision, and are in the process of reviewing it. The State Board of Election Commissions has already contacted us requesting an appeal, and we will work as quickly as possible on the board's behalf to appeal the decision. Aaron Shadler, spokesman for McDonald's office, said. Now, the Attorney General, McDaniels, remember, is a Democrat. But if the ruling says that it can be appealed, then he has to go along with it. It's not going to go anywhere. The Civil Liberties Union of Arkansas, which has filed a separate lawsuit, hailed the ruling. The important thing is that it indicates voters will be able to vote, Holly Dickinson said. She's the group's legal director. It matters not which suit, as long as voters will be able to vote. I mean, it's just becoming such a fiasco. And the only reason why, you can just look, how many times have you heard the word voter fraud? How many times? You can count them on your hand until we got a black president in. Judge Fox issued the ruling in the case that, in this case, that has focused on absentee ballots. Pulaski Court Election Commissioner sued the State Board of Elections for adopting a rule that gives absentee voters additional time to show proof of ID. The rule allowed voters who did not submit required identification with the absentee ballot to turn in the documents for their vote to be counted by noon Monday the following the election. That's a week. It mirrors an identical cure period the law gives to voters who fail to show identification at the polls. McDaniel issued a legal opinion in February in which he said absentee voters could not be given additional time to cast ballots because it wasn't specified in the law. His opinion conflicted with the advice that the Republican Secretary of State office had given to local education officials. The Pulaski County action forced the court to reach the legal issue involved and strike down the voter ID law, said Ben Burks, a member of the Pulaski County Election Commission. The Republican governor of the voter ID law said he was shocked at Fox's ruling, saying he didn't believe the judge gave the state the chance to defend a new measure. I thought today was about the rulemaking on the absentee ballots. It seems like he, the judge, ahead of himself. He jumped ahead of himself, said King, Republican from Green Forest. 31 states have laws in effect requiring voters to show some form of ID. And every last one of them are governors. Well, sorry, it's not every last one. It's 29 out of 30. They have Republican governors and Republican legislatures. And they have gone through with this. Every one, every last one has used the reason voter fraud. Now, we can't even get people to come and get free stuff from a bank, open up a bank account. Now, who the hell is going to go and vote twice or vote using somebody else's name? I mean, the people in this country are lazy, lazy. We have less people voting than almost any civilized country in the world. Why? Because everybody's got everything they want and they don't give a damn about anybody else. Simple as that. I got mine, you get yours. You ain't got yours, too damn mad. That's it. Too damn bad. I mean, it's as simple as that. 31 states, as I said, okay? Under previous law, election workers were required to show for photo ID. Workers were required to show ID by voters, and if you didn't show it, you couldn't cast a ballot. Under the new law, voters who don't show photo identification can cast provisional ballots. Those ballots would be counted only if voters provide ID and county election officials to county election officials before noon on the following Monday after the election, sign an affidavit saying that they are indigent or have a religious objection to being photographed. Now, we just heard from Joyce Wardell, who's running for North Carolina District 40, and she says that if you go to the motor vehicle, you can get a free ID. So lazy-ass people out there, get your asses up and go vote. Go to the DMV and get your ID. You don't have to have a car. You don't need a driver. You don't need an ID to vote. I mean, to drive. If you don't have a car, you can get just a plain ID for free. Okay? The Democrats are saying that they're going to use the voter ID law as an issue in this year's election, sending out a fundraising email within an hour after Fox's ruling. Don't let an appeal to this ruling turn back the clock for Arkansas voters, Candace Martin said. The secretary, the state party's executive director, wrote an email. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's don't turn back the clock, huh? Get your butts up. Even if you're not in one of these states that's claiming that you need an ID, call. You got cell phones. Everybody's got cell phones. Call and ask, hey, what do I need to vote? And if you haven't voted before, register. Because I'm telling you, every single thing that Clyde Bundy said about slavery is going to come true. And don't blame anybody but yourself. Don't blame anybody but yourself. Now, this guy, Clive Bundy. Now, it's not the same Bundy that was on the TV series, you know, the Bundys Meet the Bundys. But Clive and Bundy is just a major nitwit. Okay? Now, here's what he said, trying to explain away everything that he said, trying to explain it all away and say, hey, you know, that's not what I really meant. Let me just play this for you. Listen.
I'm wondering, are they better off with their young women aborting their children? Are they better off with their young men in prison? And are they better off with the older people on the sidewalks in front of their government-issued homes with a few children on them? Are they better off? Are they happier than they was when they was in the South in front of their homes with their chickens and their gardens and their children around them and their men having something to do? Are they better off? I'm a-wondering. And that's the question I put before the world. Are they better or were they better then? I'm not saying that I thought they should be slaves, or I'm never even saying they was better off one way or the other. I'm wondering if they're better off.
Oh, excuse me. I just came in from getting my my chickens. They were in my garden here, and I was just trying to kick them out a little bit. It's, you know, and because they were in my ex's garden with my tomatoes. I'm telling you, those chickens, I need a fence to them in. Maybe I'll cook one of them tonight. Anyway, so let me play what he said later.
I'm not saying that I thought they should be slaves, or I'm never even saying they was better off one way or the other. I'm wondering if they're better off. They're not slaves no more. They seem to be slaves to the welfare system and this type of thing, but they have opportunities. I mean, look, we have a good example, I guess. Look how far we've come to have a president.
Oh, caught me again. Get out of that garden. I mean, these chickens. I'm telling you, you know, if it wasn't for these chickens and this garden, I don't know what the hell. I guess I'd be sitting out on the sidewalk looking at the, barking at the moon or looking into the sun or something because I got nothing to do. Is this guy whack? Is this guy whack or what? Is this guy actually whack? What is wrong, people? What is wrong? Why are these people? I don't understand this. I just how people can say these things and then, hey, there's nothing wrong that I said. There wasn't anything wrong with what I said. I mean, I never said anything like that. Of course not. Why would I say that you need to have a chicken and you need to have that's bad? Don't we all need to have some chickens? I wish I had some chicken right now. I mean, it is just so unbelievably stupid and idiotic. I just cannot even believe that this person would say, well, I can't say I didn't believe this person would say that. The problem is, why would these people on his bandwagon, the Ted Cruz's? It seems like, when are these people going to not leap first and ask questions later? When is this going to happen? I mean, is this, they keep talking about, oh, the country is finished. The country might be finished because of these fools. That's why the country may be finished. It's just completely outrageous. And see, we're talking about people who are supposed to be intelligent. Nobody is claiming that this Clyde Bundy's intelligent. All we heard from Sean Hannity was that, you'll be glad because they're going to come in and we're trying to protect you. We don't want the black helicopters come and get you because, when the black helicopters come and get you, boy, it's really going to be a major problem. So, I mean, just listen. We had yesterday associate professor and director for Africana Studies at Lehigh University, Dr. James Peterson, he said something that was very, very, very enlightening. Let's just listen. I'm trying to think which one you know. Here it is, right here.
The depths of this guy's ignorance has no limitation at this point. But let me be clear, there is an important point for us to take out. Is what he's saying about the prison industrial complex and mass incarceration is important, which is to say that it's part of a system that throughout history, Michelle Alexander does a great job of tracking this in The New Jim Crow, does stem from the institution of slavery. But what this nut job doesn't realize is that that's the system that we're still fighting against. Right? There is no one in their right mind who believes that being enslaved, being chattel, being traded and sold as property is somehow or in someone's imagination better than being free and alive in America. No one believes that. So for him to say that and to try to sort of couch it in this fake apology is even more racist than the original comments. So
now, that's the second clip I wanted to play. I wanted to play that second, but let me get into what Dr. Peterson said in the very beginning.
That's right. That's part of what makes this patently absurd. You might also note the phonetics in his pronunciation of the outdated term Negro. But then, to be honest with you, Steve, I think this unveils for us the ugly side of anti-government.
Now, that's what I wanted to get to. I had some other things I had to talk about here. He used the word, everybody is saying, oh, Negro, he shouldn't use it. That's not what the man said. You need to listen to him, and don't tell me it's his accent. I don't want to hear that. Peterson just pointed it out. We all know what he said. It's just like that Santorum trying to clean up what he said. You remember when he ran for office? Santorum? Yeah. said the same thing. And if I could, while we're discussing this, maybe I can find it, let you hear what Santorum said, because, hey, he said the same thing. Rick Santorum said the same exact thing. And it was, oh, it was, everybody said, oh, no, he didn't act, I never said anything like that. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Santorum said that. That's what he, and he meant to say that. So now, what are all these people going to do who were Santorum? What did all the people, what did those people do? They tried to run and tried to hide behind that. No, we know him. He's not a racist. What are they doing to Clyde Bundy? Clyde Bundy, what are they doing to him? These same people. What are they doing to him? They're running and they're leaving him in the dust bowl of history. He's going to be run into the dust bowl of history. That's what's happening to him. And that's how we're going to know that this is going to be over. I'm looking for this clip from Rick Santorum, which I could play if I ever found it. And let's see if I can find it here. Rick Santorum. No, I'll have to find it some other time, and I'll do the pair up with it. But anyway, this is where we're at now. I mean, it's just completely anybody who doesn't understand what this man meant. If anybody doesn't understand what this man meant, then they have lost all remnants of what this country stands for. Let me just play this one more time for you so you can actually hear what he said.
I want to tell you one more thing. When I go through Las Vegas, North Las Vegas, and I would see these little government houses, and in front of that government house, the door was usually open, and the older people and the kids, and there's always at least a half a dozen people sitting on the porch. They didn't have nothing to do. They didn't have nothing for their kids to do. They didn't have nothing for their young girls to do. And because they were basically on government subsidy, and so now what do? They abort their young children. They put their young men in jail because they never learned how to pick cotton. And I've often wondered, are they better off as slaves picking cotton, having family life and doing things, or are they better off under government subsidy? Yeah, they didn't get no more freedom. They got less freedom.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just outside picking my cotton because my cotton got in the way of my garden, which the chickens were in, chewing on the tomatoes. I mean, it's horrible to be someone that just has a garden with chickens and cotton because you don't know what to pick first and what to eat first. Let's see. We got a caller here. Hello, caller.
Hi, Mike. It's Matt Newton.
Matt Newton, how are you?
Yes, sir. Great, great.
I'm sorry I didn't get back here quick because I was out there scooting my chickens away from my tomatoes.
Oh, I heard.
And I was over the cotton.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's horrible. It's a shame and the just absolute obscene, ridiculous nature of this is the fact that this is exactly what the right and more particularly the far right idolizes. Right, I mean, we've seen this guy all over Sean Hannity, and it's disgusting.
Go ahead, I lost you.
Oh, I was saying, this guy from Texas, right, the rancher, who doesn't recognize the government, he's being idolized by the far right. And
Sean Hannity.
It's absolutely disgusting.
Yes. Well, the thing is, though, I want to know one thing. If he does not believe or recognize the United States of America, what currency is he using?
Exactly.
And the other thing is that if he – okay, he's using U.S. currency. Okay. I mean, when you're in France, you use the franc. Okay? All right. So he's visiting. But why is he on a horse with a flag that's got 50 stars on it?
It makes no sense, and to say that the social safety net, right, is something to do away with, but yet idolize this guy, nonsensical.
The thing is that suppose. This, you remember we had, this man, okay, well, let me get back to my main point. Suppose this was an African-American rancher who did not pay his bills, and he had the Black Panthers out there supporting
him. Mm-hmm.
I think SEAL Team 6 would have been in there on him tomorrow night.
Yeah. I couldn't believe I had seen a clip where these guys that are supporting this this rancher guy, they had said that they were going to put the women out front to prove the point.
Yes.
The women will get shot first to prove a point.
Yes, but Stephen Colbert said, well, he didn't tell you everything. He didn't tell you everything. He said the women were going to be in front, but in case that broke down, the children would go ahead of them.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Here's the thing. It's $35 in change to graze on state land. That's the average cost for a cattle, one cow to graze on state land. It's $16 and change to graze on county land, but it's $1.35 to graze on federal land. Now, you're telling me for 20 years, he's saying we own this because we have, he's claiming posse comitatus, which was 18, I believe it was 18, was it before the Civil War? It must have been after the Civil War, so 1868, something like that. And where it claimed that only the sheriff had divine powers to arrest anybody. Nobody else. Well, this is because this was in protest of what Lincoln did. That's all that was, where states' rights were gone. And anybody who says the word states' rights in their mouth and you don't know where they're coming from are a moron. You're a moron. Now,
you know what they call people like this in the Middle East? Terrorists. Mentality is a terrorist mentality.
Of course it is. Now what would have happened? We saw the pictures of those snipers, that he had from these different groups on the overpasses who were going to shoot the marshal.
Oh, my gosh.
What happened? They shot one of those marshals.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, there's pictures of that. Okay, now what would have happened if one of those marshals would have been shot? Now, here's the other thing I don't understand. I mean, after 1940, there is no way, I don't care how many guns you have, I don't care how many people you have, you could not ward off the U.S. government from coming in and kicking you out of anywhere if they wanted to. So this is just a ruse by the NRA and the weapons and Colt and Remington to sell guns, because you could have all the guns in the world. They're not going to help you when they got a drone up there that can blow up the three square blocks. I mean, this doesn't even make any sense. It doesn't make sense. It's about selling more guns. Well,
yep.
One thing I want to ask you, what you are running for, what position in the so-called federal government, not federal government, the state government, because he don't recognize you either.
Well, this is a wonderful conversation, and I don't want us to get sidetracked, but I'm also running for office. I am running for State Senate District 40, and early vote started yesterday. So we are, myself and my team, we're working diligently to get the message of what I'm about and who I am out there, and we're asking folks to please make it out to the polls and vote.
Are you out at the polls now?
I just was, and I am traveling to a polling location in the southern part of my district right now, and
okay.
I'll be over there. I've been hopping around some today.
Well, that's good. Now tell us, well, what are some of these voter restrictions that may be taking effect in 2016?
Well, in 2016, we're talking about voter ID. And
right.
And having a photo identification to vote. Right now, that's not the case. That everyone understands that you don't have to have a photo identification to vote at the polls this year, and it's my understanding next year either. You will be asked about it, and if you don't have a photo identification, you'll be provided information for how to obtain one. But even still, and you'll be asked to sign a form. But simply because you don't want to sign that form or you don't have photo ID, that does not, should not prevent you from voting. You can still vote.
Okay, now, can we get, because I was told by another person that's running, that if you went to DMV, you could get a free photo ID. Is that true?
I don't know if that's the case right now. That is what the legislature has said that they intend to do. I don't know if that's particularly the case right now.
Because
it's my understanding that it was $10, but I can't speak to whether or not that's changed.
Okay, because wasn't that one of the major stumbling blocks that poor people didn't have the money to go set away for a voter ID? And then, hey, if suppose you don't have your birth certificate.
Mm-hmm.
To get it, don't you have to have a birth certificate when you go to get an ID?
There are a number of forms of identification, and I think you need to have more than just that, Mike. The birth certificate certainly is something that is acceptable. I think you need to have something that verifies your address as well. I don't know. Now, when it comes to a driver's license in particular, you need even more, right? You need to have insurance. And that's a further stumbling block for many folks. I'll say this, and I don't know all the particulars when it comes to obtaining an ID at a cheaper ID, as it were, at the DMV. But I will say that we know that when DMV records have been juxtaposed or compared, registration records. That we have a difference of somewhere between 300 and 600,000 people. And so those are the numbers that we know will be affected by the implementation of this new law. There is no doubt about it. A concerted effort needs to be made to ensure that those individuals that constitute that number of people are able and do obtain identification for voting purposes. Let's be clear about what's going on, and I know that you're fully aware of it. This is an assault on one particular political party because the other is in power and wants to further twist that towel, right? Twist out the last drops, right, of supposed resistance. And there are ways that we can still organize, even vote absentee in the alternative, and ensure that we still have strong representation in Raleigh.
Okay. What would you tell someone, you're a lawyer, what would you tell someone that didn't have, that doesn't, it's not registered, hasn't voted in years, and cannot get a hold of their birth certificate. What would you advise them to do?
Well, the alternative, as I was saying, is absentee voting. Now, there will be the implementation of a new process for absentee voting starting this year. And that process requires submitting paperwork to the Board of Elections to obtain your absentee ballot. And within that submission of that paperwork, you have to either include the last four digits of your Social Security number, which you may need to have a birth certificate to obtain, or alternatively,
right,
you can have a different form of ID. It's my understanding that a utility bill would qualify. So you're talking,
okay,
about going to that extent where you obtain the absentee ballot by having that super alternative, right, form of,
right,
ID, at which point you obtain the absentee ballot and can vote. Now, when you do obtain that absentee ballot, you have to either get it notarized, which could pose a problem, especially for folks that are underprivileged or indigent. Alternatively, and this would be, I think, the option that you'd want to run with, which is to have two other people. They don't have to be notarized when they do this, or their signatures don't have to be notarized, but have two other people sign the document saying that they witnessed the actual vote. And if you go that far, and for whatever reason you're unable, you don't have a birth certificate, right, and you're unable to get a form of ID that's acceptable to,
right,
to the Board of Elections or to your local precinct, that,
mm-hmm,
would be the way of going around it, doing it.
Well, let me ask you, I mean, you are a smart, young, intelligent lawyer. What the hell do you want to do, run for this in this state, North Carolina, with those mongrels, as Ted Nugent said, up there, who don't care about the people of the state?
Well, I do more than just practice law, Mike, and I guess we are under assault. There is no if, ands, or buts about it on every front. And knowing what I'm capable of doing, what I have accomplished, and the fact that I feel like I have a good head on my shoulders and a unique ability to work and think outside the box to accomplish the common good that we all know we as citizens, constituents of my district and the state at large deserve. I think that I can do so much more, and I hope that voters recognize that and give me that opportunity, give me that chance to do it. And
right,
I think that's where I'm coming from on this. This is something where I see the pretextual and systemic discriminatory nature, and we're also talking about on a racial front. And
right,
I see it every single day. I practice criminal defense. I know how hard it is for someone who has had a charge dismissed, absolutely,
mm-hmm,
exonerated. They are in all shape, in every way, shape, or form, otherwise considered innocent. And because of our employment laws, our housing laws, our educational system, they are not receiving equal opportunity that other folks,
right,
do. And it's only getting worse. So I feel a certain sense of obligation and a compulsion, quite frankly, that I cannot ignore to stay involved. It's not easy. It's not easy doing what I've done over the past few years, volunteering my time to the extent that I have. But at the same time, I hope that it's an indication for the voters that I am someone that can get the job done, and I do hope that they give me the opportunity to do what I believe in and to fight these fights full time. And if so, I guarantee every single one of my constituents that I won't let them down.
Well, I really think that if people actually paid attention to you, they would get a little more than what they bargained for, because there's a lot more that you seem like you can bring to the table. What are a couple of your major, the major things that you want to get done as the state senator from District 40?
Well, we're all talking, and we share a lot of common values, the other candidates and I. We're all talking about education, and we're talking about increasing teacher salaries, taking a stand against the elimination of career status. We know that there's support within the General Assembly for the reinstatement of career status, and that's something that it might surprise people that moderate Republicans actually favor. It's unfortunate that the appropriations bill last year had included that particular provision without debate. It was forced in there along with the voucher package that happened overnight, and it was contrary to the legislation that had been proposed just weeks beforehand. But there's certainly that. We can talk about health care, the Medicaid expansion, how accepting that Medicaid expansion that is otherwise coming out of our pockets benefiting other states would do a lot more for not just teachers but state employees at large and would improve other areas of our overall system, right, so including the Department of Health and Human Services as well. Also, in something that's near and dear to me, I am endorsed by the Labor Council, is our employment at will laws and the fact that we can really rein them in and ensure that people have more equal opportunity to work. And at the same time, we can create state and local partnerships and incentive packages for businesses that are future forward and will provide the jobs for the workforce of tomorrow. And one more point on that is we can do more, too, to make tuition rates more affordable and certainly expand the opportunities for our young folks to obtain education in trade schools and in other middle class opportunities that will make them prosper, right? That'd be good for familial units. There is a lot to be done there. However, let's be clear, too, about the fact that we have had the most regressive tax reform package in the past 4 years passed this last year. That included the elimination of the earned income tax credit. It included a flat tax that was instituted that will only burden the middle class and working poor. It included a corporate tax rate that was effectively cut in half without the closure of loopholes and tax shelters. It will result in a net loss in revenue of between $1.5 and $3.7 billion. I am somebody that would be interested in working on the Finance Committee, ensuring that we have accountable government when it comes to our fiscal responsibilities for the people, and also tackle issues like unemployment insurance and the Racial Justice Act. It's all encompassing, and these things impinge upon one another. And when you change any one particular component or cog within the grander system in a regressive fashion, what you do is you affect others. And everyone but the absolute top, and this is what drives us crazy, right, Mike, is the fact that certainly someone's doing well, right, the people with the deep pockets. However, we still have a lot of folks that tend to vote for these people with the deep pockets, even though they themselves don't. We have to be very cognizant of the fact that this agenda that's being pushed does not create opportunity. We aren't going to prosper under the current regime. No one, and that includes moderate Republicans or a lot of Republicans altogether. So there is a lot of ground that can be made up. We need to do that over the next 4 years to ensure that we have ensure that we have good redistricting that is accomplished to really be much more reflective of the overall population. And that's the last thing, right, is redistricting.
You mentioned redistricting, and I am for no political redistricting. It needs to be drawn by a master, a judge, so it's all fair.
I agree.
And it should not be up to a political entity doing this. A judge draws a district. We wouldn't have that line that Mel Watt has that goes up and curls like a snake and goes all the way up to the north. That's completely ludicrous. I mean, we need to make this thing fair.
My district's the same way, Mike. Democrats got packed into this district, so the district above us, the district below us, would have more Republicans. You know, the trade-off was instead of having a Democrat, Republican, and then middle district that could swing, it was two Republicans and a Democrat. The party that drew the redistricting lines, right, or the party that seemingly controlled that process gained a seat within the Senate through my very district. And I agree with you wholeheartedly. We need to – it doesn't make sense to have a state that contains more Democrats than Republicans have a supermajority for the minority party.
Absolutely.
And that in and of itself is reflective of how these lines are drawn. Now, having said that, this isn't in what's key in my message that voters listen and understand that there is a lot that can be accomplished in a bipartisan fashion. We are not necessarily at our wit's end as Democrats. We can still work in a bipartisan fashion to accomplish democratic change. To still push our morals and ideals. We don't budge on certain issues, but when it comes to something like redistricting, just as much so as say domestic violence laws, right? Strengthening domestic violence laws, even unemployment insurance. When it comes to redistricting, even the John Locke Foundation believes, and this is about as conservative of a conservative think tank as you can find. Even they agree with us on this one. So there is common ground here.
Well, I want to thank you, Matt Newton, and where can people get in touch with you, get a hold of you to help you in your campaign?
Folks can go to my website, votematnewton.com, and V-O-T-E, Matt, M-A-T-T, Newton, just like Fig Newton, N-E-W-T-O-N.com. I'm also on Facebook, Matt Newton for NC Senate District 40, and please don't forget me at the polls. Get them out there. Early votes started. There are five. There are polling locations across the entire county, five in particular within my district, and they're open to voters from everywhere. When it comes to voting day, you can only vote in your own precinct now, but right now you can go to any voting location and vote. I would highly encourage that you go ahead and do that now. So you aren't subject to potential discrepancies or any improprieties on election day.
Well, I thank you, Matt Newton. Everybody, get out there and vote. Hey, it's early vote right now. How long does early vote start?
It goes until 7 o'clock. Oh, I'm sorry.
How long does it last? How many days?
It will be another. Let me count. 1, 2, 3. It's another 6 days. It lasts today until 7, and then from Monday to Saturday of next week, you can always go to Hal Marshall is open from the Hal Marshall Center downtown is open from 8 a.m. to 7, and then Monday through Saturday of next week, the other sites are open from 11 a.m. To 7 p.m. And then that's it. Six more days, and then we have Election Day on May 6th, Tuesday.
Okay. Thank you, Matt Newton.
Thank you, Mike.
North Carolina Senate District, candidate for Senate District 40. Everybody get out there and vote. I'll see you, Matt.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it. Always a pleasure.
Right now, and I'm glad you waited, is our Democratic chair from Mecklenburg County, Robin Bradford.
How
are you, Robin?
Hello, Michael and voters.
I want you to hear, I just want you to hear, I didn't get a chance to play this, but I just want you to hear. This is Wayne Slater, who's a senior writer for the Dallas Morning News, talking about my cousin, Cliven Bundy.
I mean, do we have a sense, again, I'm saying this is not the whole conservative movement, this isn't the majority of the conservative movement, but do we have a sense how big that, you know, this sort of group would be?
And that's what we need to think about that. This is obviously not every rancher. This is not every conservative, not every Republican. Obviously, that's the case. But the truth is, it is a fairly substantial intellectual underpinning which has fed a portion of the party that the more reasonable, moderate, or moderately conservative political types, like our own Rick Perry, like Ted Cruz, George P. Bush, who's running for land commissioner here, a senator in Nevada we saw, were quick to jump on the bandwagon for political purposes, recognizing or trying to ignore that there is this toxic aspect to where this some of this stuff comes from. How widespread are the racist, the overt racist? That's not very widespread, but it does feed an anti-government sentiment that when you hear them talk about the president as being illegitimate, we know what that means, or the government as not as being lawless, we know exactly what that means. It feeds the rhetoric, and that is widespread on the far right.
Well, I want to pick up what you were saying. You mentioned elected Republicans would express some sort of understanding, sympathy, you know, when it came to Bundy's beef with the Bureau of Land Management, if not his method.
Now, again, Steve, you know most of them are running like scalded dogs.
Right,
so
well, that's exactly what we're getting to. Because today, some of them put out statements denouncing his country. Senator Rand Paul, whose spokesman initially told the New York Times that Paul was not immediately available for comment, that was in their story. Then he told NBC News Today, his remarks on race are offensive, and I wholeheartedly disagree with him. A spokesperson for Republican Nevada Senator Dean Heller was quoted in a New York Times article saying the senator completely disagrees with Mr. Bundy's appalling statements and condemns them in the most strenuous way. So, yes, obviously, look, the great, you know, walk back has begun for any Republican, any elected official who came within, you know, a mile of this guy. But I guess I want to focus on the question of Rand Paul just for a second, James, because this is not the first time, you know, the thing about Rand Paul had this guy in his.
Now, I wanted to play that, Robin, because I wanted to get your sense of what you heard here in Charlotte or around the state. And I know it's only been a day or so, but this guy has been doing this. He's been going on. Sean Hannity's been promoting this guy for, 2 weeks now? I mean, and as
right.
I said at the beginning of the show here, anybody that talks about states' rights, you know exactly what they mean. And
well,
it ain't about what happened at Harris Teeter.
No, and you're right. And it's sad because 3 weeks ago I was in New York at a convention and the rhetoric was continuing. And then yesterday I attended the U.S. Global Leadership, which is a nonpartisan organization highly respected by all officials either on the right or on the left. And the keynote speaker was Senator Burr, and he took the position of kind of saying he was a moderate.
Wait a minute. Senator Burr? Our Senator Burr? No. Not,
yes.
Our Senator Burr
continue to take pot shots at the President of the United States based on his quote-unquote, we don't have a foreign policy, but we do. Talked about health care, affordable health care, as if it was an albatross around a government's neck, and he felt comfortable in saying so. And, you know, the other thing I want to talk about is, and I was listening to Matt, great candidate, but there's no such thing in the state of North Carolina as a moderate Republican. They're only moderate when it comes time for voting. And that's how we got in trouble, 2010, 2012, and we're going to get in trouble here in 2014 if we believe in the mystical
moderate Republican. If they say they're moderate, their voting record has not shown that in the last 2 years. So Democrats, stop saying moderate Republican. And if they were bipartisan, then we wouldn't have regressive government based on a supermajority of people who want to take us back 100 years. And this is what's going on. And they know that they're up for reelection, so now they're moving closer to the center. They're disassociating themselves from those hard-nosed, hardcore to the right, which they are undercover until voting time. So please, who's ever listening, if you're on the fence or you think you know a moderate Republican, it's like knowing a unicorn. They don't exist.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that's happened in the recent decades. Ever since the Republicans retook the House after the the first Obama landslide, they were shrewd about getting in there. It was a crucial year because of redistricting. That's why
it's
so hard to get all of those House seats, and they did it. But what happened after redistricting, and you can look at it, they've got the facts on file if anybody really wants to look it up, but everything became hyperpartisan. And it has driven, now we used to have things like, moderate Republicans and moderate Democrats. But the process now has become so skewed, especially on the Republican side, because of another factor, and that is people like the Koch brothers and our favorite Herr Rover came up with that thing about when you can't win elections and you can't do things like that, what you do is you back up a step and you primary people out before anybody's paying attention. And then you put your candidate in so that the people have no choice. So that's what happened to the Republicans. All those moderate Republicans, they got wiped out.
Well,
they got taken out like snipers, one by
well,
one.
Well, you got to remember this. Just listen to this now.
Now, many of our Christians have what I call the goo-goo syndrome. Good government. They want everybody to vote. I don't want everybody to vote. Elections are not won by a majority of people. They never have been from the beginning of our country, and they are not now. As a matter of fact, our leverage in the elections, quite candidly, goes up as the voting populace goes down.
Well, Madam Chairman, what do you think of that?
It's all about leverage.
Well, that's the overall mantra to make sure that government is only for the elitists. The people who rule the government are the top 10%. And when, I'll refer back to Matt, when Matt said, even the John Locke Society Well, the John Locke already experienced in the state of North Carolina 80 years of Democratic supermajority. So now they have a chance that they might lose it. So, of course, I'm going to support public officials, judicial officials handling redistricting because they have the judicial majority now in the state of North Carolina. So don't think they're sympathetic or they have a sympathetic ear. John Locke is who they are, and they will continue to be who they are. And I get sick and tired of people thinking, well, they're coming to the center, they're rationalizing, and they're coming to our side. No. It's strategic. Don't fall for the hype. And understand that if you don't get out and vote in this primary race and get the Democratic judges, Robin Hudson, in there, if you don't vote in the primary, you deserve what we get. And November, you need to come out in triple, quadruple numbers, Democrats. Come out,
well,
vote.
Absolutely.
Well, now listen, I have to let you.
If we even got double,
hey, all we need is single. We outnumber them. We just need single, 1-1. Tell you what, my outside bun.
This thing about slavery and about Negroes and about government subsidies and the slavery that they put people in when they get in. That needs to be discussed. When America's ready to discuss it, let's do it.
I played the clip from a associate professor and head of Afro studies at Lehigh University, Dr. James Peterson, and he said, look, we know he didn't say the word Negro. We know that, and none of these, he's the only person that caught that. I know there's a lot of other people that have caught that, and they haven't said that. But this, what else this fool said? Just listen to this now.
Harry, get your army out of Nevada. Get your army away from my ranch and off Clark County public land and keep it out. And if they come, we'll deal with them tonight. Every county sheriff across the United States disarm the federal bureaucrats. Take the federal United States bureaucrats' guns away.
I do break federal laws, evidently, if they're really laws. These feds, I don't recognize their jurisdiction or authority, so no, I wouldn't go with them.
Well,
going back to state constitutional laws. We're United States. Right, we're United States. We're not divided states.
You misunderstood. You just because that you're a woman, you don't understand that he don't believe in the United States. So there's no such thing as the United States. But I have a question. Why is he using Benjamin Franklin and Abe Lincoln in currency in his pocket? How's that even proportional? I mean, I don't understand that. How can he sit on with his big fat self on a horse with an American flag that's got 50 states stars on it? I mean, how's that?
That's the one that got me. He's always standing in front of a flag.
Right. Is that possible?
I don't believe in the government.
I mean, what in the world? Now, he's talking about, I was talking to a friend, we're wondering about this problem with this kid down in Franklin County here. And he's in Pennsylvania, and I was telling him that, hey, the sheriff has more power than anybody. Police chief can't arrest the sheriff. Nobody can arrest the sheriff if there's no coroner in the county. So the thing is that's what was formed when they had this posse comitatus. We're trying to look up now. I think it was 1868. But the thing posse comitatus said that the sheriff has his absolute law and the county is absolute. Nobody can come in. Well, he said that I would come in if the sheriff came and got me. Now, who the hell believes that he would go to the sheriff when the sheriff was standing out there with him, looking at him, and he was directing the sheriff to go arrest the Bureau of Land Management officials that were there and take their guns?
Yeah. You know those notices for unpaid bills?
Yeah.
And that he's been getting, the sheriff delivers those to his house. I mean, come on, give me a freaking...
Well, see, now...
I mean, look, this is, again, an episode of stupidity in action, because these are the people who conveniently forget that all the freedoms they have, the freedom to stand there and blather on in your racist, ignorant way all day long, is because you're an American and you're protected.
Exactly.
By America.
You get license to be a fool.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's what I love about these guys when they constantly disparage their country. You remember just a few weeks ago, I won't even name him because I don't care. He said one of our representatives said that it was under Obama, it was worse than North Korea here. I mean, come on.
Here's
a ticket. Please
That fool was on Fox, who the guy that ran the minister. Pastor.
Yeah.
Huckabee.
Yeah, Mike.
Huckabee. Yeah. Well, here's Posse Comitatus now. Posse Comitatus Act is United States federal law. It was established in June 18th, 1878, after the end of Reconstruction, and was updated in 1981. Okay. See, he's saying that he's been on this property since 1948. Well, he wasn't around in 1878, was he? No, I don't think so. So he said he has, and it was to limit the powers of the federal government in using federal military personnel to enforce state law. Well, those were not military personnel that were there.
Right.
Right.
And what would have happened if he would have shot, if those militia would have shot one of those federal agents? I say, oh, but we'll get back to that. Here's the one question I have. What happened, what would happen if President Barack Obama sent SEAL Team 6 in there? This man is, listen, he owes $1 million. They didn't even do that with Al Capone. Al Capone didn't owe $1 million. He owed $600,000.
This guy's also actively on TV, disavowed the United States of America.
Right.
Does that not, you know?
Well,
yeah, that's unconstitutional. Shouldn't he be a federal criminal?
He's a criminal. Now, has anybody in the Republican Party in this state, North Carolina, said anything or linked themselves with this man that you heard of yet?
Not yet, because, you know, they want to make sure that they maintain the state. You know, even Governor McCrory is trying to backpedal when it comes to Duke Energy. You know,
yeah.
Don't forget that he was an employee with an office for Duke Energy, and Duke Energy invested in his campaign. So he's trying to, yeah, so he's just trying to cover his tracks so there's no federal investigation on his connection with Duke Energy. These people are out there. Criminals who are doing the most egregious things, and then they're going to try to say they don't support it and change bills and things like that. I mean, even the General Assembly, the Republicans had said, before you did that, you should have checked with us because we went the original way that you wanted us to go, and now you're backpedaling because you want to get reelected and you want to keep a supermajority. So see what
now,
it is. This is what's going on.
You are running for what office this year?
I'm running for House Seat 92. I ran for the position 2 years ago. It was a newly created swing district through the Republican-dominated Bob Russo in redistricting. True swing. My opponent who won the seat was funded by the Pope Foundation, the Citizens United, and everyone else. So, yes, I was outspent, but if you're an investor, you only beat me by 1.75%. So you got a winner, but you had to pay deep pockets for it. I'm running this race to make sure that District 92 has the right representation. While he was running his race, he said he was a moderate Republican. Well, according to Democracy North Carolina, he received an F on a report card. So if you're moderate, you wouldn't receive an F. So at the end of the day, even Republicans, don't vote against your own interests. Understand what the candidate stands for, and I'm that candidate. So I need not only Democrat votes, I need an affiliate, and I need you Republicans who understand regressive government.
Now, the person that's in there now, okay, he was claiming he was mild-mannered.
A moderate. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, tell me one thing.
While an employee of the Pope machine.
Right.
Yes.
Why, and we don't mean Pope Francis either. Okay. Well,
no,
why,
we mean the great art.
That's right. Why, and I'm going to ask you this, I ask all women this question. Why do women vote against their own self-interest?
Well, it's not just women, because if you looked at my race and you looked at the demographics, it was mostly white men head of household. I did get a substantial amount of crossover votes, but it's all about education. And if you live in an area that you're not an educated voter, you tend to vote with the group. And if someone's coming in saying that they're a moderate Republican and they're going to support women's rights, and once they're elected in, they vote the opposite way, you can't pull that vote back. What I'm asking in 2014 is everybody come out, women, men, white America, black America, Hispanic America, come out and say, no, we're not going to stand for regressive government. We want a leader in District 92 who's going to be able to vote for progressive government, not recessive.
Now, you're for the Affordable Care Act. Was the person that you're running against, was he for the Affordable Care Act?
No, let me tell you how regressive he was. Once the talks of affordable health care came out, they were town board council member of Huntersville. And this ludicrous person tried to get the residents of Huntersville to try to vote for to be, I can't think of the word, but Huntersville would not buy in as a town if the Democrats were the majority on the state level. They wanted to be exempt. Huntersville wanted to be exempt under him from the Affordable Health Care Act.
We're gonna secede from the Affordable Care Act.
It was retarded. So I knew that he was going to do that, and I went to the meeting that night, signed up to speak, and the votes that he thought he had on the town board changed their mind. And it's a 6-1 Republican-dominated board, and he was leading the charge. To tie us up, the town of Huntersville, to tie us up court against the attorney general for opting out of any Affordable Health Care Acts, the town of Huntersville. and this man now is a state representative. How ludicrous is that?
Well,
I mean, doing the same thing on the state level. They're rejecting.
Has that idea and what happened, has it gotten across? Has it hurt enough people?
Well, of course it hurt a lot of people, I believe it has. I've put those numbers out there. We're a state that has affordable health care but doesn't accept the federal dollars for Medicare. So if I'm a senior citizen who was relying upon Medicare as 100%, I can't get the true benefits of affordable health care because my main coverage was through Medicare. You know, people need to understand the nuts and the bolts behind it. This state has given away so much money on affordable health care that we're still paying into it, but we're not receiving the 100% back due to the General Assembly stating that we don't want that. We're not going to give you that benefit. So people, regardless of where you sit at, a DNR, unaffiliate, you're raping the state. Because that recessive government, the Republicans, decided that, hey, we're too good to receive those federal dollars, and we're going to penalize you for applying for affordable health care.
You know, that's the whole thing. It's holding everyone hostage, taking their money just because they're in a SNP about a federal law, which,
right.
You know, technically could be criminal, but anyway.
Right, and that's what we're sitting with. So between now and November, you know, as chair of the Democratic Party in Mecklenburg County, get out and vote, Democrats. November is coming where Republican unaffiliate vote for your interest, not against. It's not about being a Democrat. It's not about following the Democrats. It's about making sure that you've looked at the government in the state of North Carolina. It didn't work. It's only taking stuff away from you. You need to vote the right way and hold these candidates, once they're elected, accountable for the choices that they have made on your behalf.
Okay, Robin Bradford here, Mecklenburg County Democratic Party. Give us how they can contact you for help you run for NC for 92, District 92, and Democratic Party.
Sure. It's House Seat 92, and my website is www.robinbradfordnc.com. And if you want to reach the Mecklenburg Democratic Party, it's mecdem.org, and you can reach me both ways. I'm accessible, I'm retired, and I'm working. Whether it's in an elected position or not, we need to make sure that we change regressive government to progressive again, or we all lose in North Carolina. And I'm Robin Bradford. Thank you.
Oh, okay, Robert Bradford, thank you. We will be talking to you again.
My
thank
pleasure.
You very much.
Right, have
bye-bye.
A great weekend. Bye.
You too. Yes.
I think it's pretty simple.
Well, before you do that, I have to go out and attend my garden with my little bit of chickens.
Yeah.
So before, and see, they were eating the cotton before, but I separated them. So, but I didn't have a fence, so I got to watch them. So, in just a minute. But you were going, you were saying?
I said, what she was talking about, getting out to vote and vote your interest. I think it's very simple this year. It couldn't be clearer. You either vote for a glass of water that you can drink, or you vote for a glass of water that's full of coal ash. I mean, that's about as simple as you can get.
What's wrong with coal ash?
Yeah, well, you know, that's what they want. They want to, you know, to pour all their ponds into all of our lakes and rivers and streams. So, that you know, it's very easy. Either vote for your interest, as in you can drink a glass of water, or, you know, vote to keep Duke Power pouring coal ash right into our water.
Well,
I mean, I don't understand why people want to vote for it, but they need to wake up.
Well, did you hear what Morning Joe said, Joe Scarborough?
This has happened before. Mm-hmm. It happened when conservatives raced blindly to put their arms around George Zimmerman, a man who they didn't realize who gets in all these troubles because of, they basically pick their friends based on who their, quote, friends' enemies are. And here in this case, you have a lot of people in conservative media that have so-called, and I put that in quotation marks, that have raced to this guy's defense. And they must be feeling very exposed this morning.
Yeah, they should be feeling very exposed. And
They should be.
They should be.
Absolutely.
And I love that he's so self-aware. This one down gives Scarborough props about he you know, he's intelligent.
He's a douchebag, but sometimes he's all right.
Say something like that, though, that they pick their friends just by, you know, who's an enemy, you know.
Well, I tell you what, Ed Schultz and Sean Hannity, it's like Abbott and Costello.
No, Abbott and Costello were equally smart and fun.
Hannity is a born loser, but let me just, it was so funny, I had to record this. Just listen to this clip.
Fox News and Sean Hannity should be ashamed of their coverage of this lawbreaker and this law-breaking Nevada rancher and his family. I think Sean Hannity is cheerleading for armed conflict with the federal government. Hannity and Fox News are playing with fire.
No, the federal government, their lack of proportionality and sense over a bill, are they going to send 200 armed agents to everybody's house, snipers to everybody's house, really? Well, we're not ashamed of our coverage. We're actually proud of our coverage. Now, there's not one thing that Ed Schultz said was true.
I mean,
proud.
He's going to, wait a minute, people out there don't owe $1 million. I mean, the man owes $1 million. Why would you not send armed people out there?
And one of the reasons you have to send armed people out there is because he's standing there with a gun going, come get it, and I'll shoot you dead. You know, I mean, look. Let's say and a couple of your closest
criminal
black
friends.
Panther.
Oh, yeah.
Islam terrorist friends.
Yes,
all
yes.
I dated
LaVore the last time.
And went and occupied a big. It was built on the old plantation where your people have for generations worked.
Right.
And you occupy it because it's yours. And these people are just here. They're
why are they there?
Your land.
Why are they there?
Now,
you're going to water.
Mm-hmm.
And demand that you don't recognize any authority other than yourself because you know you are God, and that everybody else can just go to hell and they better
hell in a handbasket.
Don't you think federal officials are going to show up to straighten you out?
I don't know.
Public taxpayer land uses the resources. You know, destroys, damages the land, occupies it. He uses it for his own profit, but then refuses to follow the law, pay his bills, or do anything else to honor this public land, because public land means everybody, citizens.
Oh, you mean it's not his?
Exactly. And then, you know,
you mean it's not his land?
When they show up and just try to enforce something, they've given him 55,000 chances. I mean, they've been billing him for.
He lost in the city. He lost in a suit. He lost in the county suit. He lost in the state suit, and he lost in the federal suit.
Right, because he has no case. I mean,
he has no case, but he thinks it's posse comitatus.
Well, the thing is,
he's
lost it every step of the way. He's done wrong. He's been proven to have done wrong. They've said he's violated the law, and he has said in response, then I don't recognize the law, and I don't recognize the United States, and you can all go to hell. So he is just a criminal. So, of course, they showed up to try to enforce the law. Now, this whole thing, this is totally separate, though, with Sean Hannity and all his little goons, you know, running around saying, yeah, buddy, woo, you know. Because you remember, these are the same people who, as soon as we had Barack Obama in the White House, which is another way of saying, as soon as that black
person, right. That in the White House.
They suddenly, you remember they were going to all the conventions, all the rallies, all the speeches, anytime there was a parade or anything else, they all suddenly showed up with machine guns and guns and pistols and everything else saying, come and take it. You know, we're here. We're letting you know. We're putting you on notice. You remember all that? You know,
yeah.
I mean, come on. This is what they're doing. And I do think it is, besides just being pathetic, you know, recording and rabble-rousing, it is crossing a line, because for years, just like their favorite guy, the wild man, Ted Wang Dang Doodle Nugent,
right,
has been proclaiming that, A, he would kill the president, you know, if he got reelected, he'd be in prison and all that kind of, you know, and that everybody should get a gun and shoot and start the war. You know, they've all been saying that, rise up, you know, overthrow the government. They are instigating a insurrection.
This is insurrection, eh?
Literally, traitors talk and behavior. And, you know, I don't think it's funny or good or cute or any excuse you can give them, because they've crossed a very dangerous line where now they are actively cheerleading known, proven, in-court criminals to kill government officials and start a war against them.
Well, this is what China.
I fear, guys, this is not over. I would take Harry Reid's admonition warning seriously. And if I was scheduled to be out there tonight, if this didn't end this weekend, if they come back, I'll be out there with you.
That's what he said.
And that was the Hannity.
That was the Hannity. But you see,
because, you know, that's what the
Hannity. That's right. The Hannity. And so, you know, that's what Hannity said, but, you know, then Hannity said, where is it? He said something else. He said this.
His comments are beyond repugnant to me. They are beyond despicable to me. They are beyond ignorant to me. Really?
But, comma, I'll be out there with you.
No, you see, he said, Lizzie, a ranch protest is a domestic terrorist. How? What do you call somebody that doesn't pay the bill? How can he drive to the North Las Vegas and see people in trailer homes sitting outside? Their kids are, the women are aborting their babies. They are sending their men to jail. He didn't say sheriff, he said they are sending their men to jail.
But look, let's just, I mean, look, I said this earlier a little bit, and you were kind of laughing at it, but let's play it out for real. What if all the blacks show up with their friends on trucks with, you know, AR-15s or whatever, and go, you know what, there was a law, and sure, where's my 40 acres? And it's mine.
Absolutely.
Give it to me, right?
It's in the law.
It's in law, and I'm completely in the right. And my ancestors have been here, so I have the right. I'm here I am.
He ain't got nothing to write.
But
Bundy don't have anything to write.
I know, but I'm just saying, which Republican will ever stand up and agree to that?
You hold the pig up here.
We don't, you know, recognize the United States government.
Please.
And they've done y'all right.
Are you kidding me?
Turn it around also. What if right outside that ranch, he is up there, you know, in the West is where we pushed all the Native Americans that are left when we, you know, cleared the East.
Yeah, he's south.
But
they're all up north. They pushed him up to the coal country. Yeah, they got him down there too.
All of Oklahoma,
right,
which, you know, just voted for no pay raise for anybody. You know, is basically Indian territory.
Okay.
That's what it was called before as well. You've got tribes all over the place and all that, and they have real legitimate rights to all this land. So Fox and Republicans, for all their, you know, cheerleading pom-poms, they're literally playing with fire, because if you give it to any other party, quote-unquote, like, you know, the Mexicans that they hate, you forget that the entire South, Western United States, it was part of Mexico, which we took by force, right? So there's an argument one could
yeah,
say
but,
to be made that
Davy Crockett
first.
Didn't make it out of there.
No, but there's an argument to be made that it was theirs first, and they got claim to it. You know what I mean? So these arguments, they've got to watch what they're saying and what they're doing, because you can't say, well, the Mexican that's lived here forever and you sell them the land has no rights. The Indian who lived here before, all of them have no rights. You know, and the blacks that we gave 40 acres to and then lied about it,
well,
they've got no rights.
Well,
this white guy does.
Yeah, well, we know what he said. He said that today, or yes, today, his other quote says, well, you know what? I think all the Mexicans should come across the border. He said, because this is free land here. They can come across. I have no problem with them coming across the border.
Oh, the Republicans.
That's what he said today. I didn't get the clip, but I'm going to go back and get the clip.
He is Mr. Free Love. Everything's free.
Hey, I wonder if it was he up there in the 60s up there.
Hey, there might be some mushrooms growing up there on that free land.
He says, I have no problem. Mexicans or Chinese, you know, I don't care. This is free land here. Mm-hmm. I have no problem with it.
It's free.
Well,
free is free.
Did you, what's his name? I'm trying to think of
you. You got to love a Republican.
You got to love him. That's right. You got
to
love him.
There's no logic to it. It just, you know, makes sense for him.
Hey, what's this logic? Why you got logic?
If you ever get back in there, I'll be there with you.
I'll be there with you.
Man, any Republican word he said. What?
I'll be at the big hotel in Las Vegas. I'll be looking at my binoculars.
Hey, you know,
I'll be looking for you.
You know why he'll be in Las Vegas? Because that's where Roger Ailes.
Oh.
And he always demands the Republicans come out there and kneel before his throne.
Well.
So I'm sure that Hannity will be in his.
Is it Ailes or is it Casino? The Casino Man.
I don't know. Either way, there's the little short guy with the baseball bat that you don't want to talk to.
Oh, no, no, no. Well, now, here's what Stephen Colbert, and we know.
You mean David Letterman?
Yeah, right. This is what he said.
Like MLK said himself at the March on Washington, I have a dream that one day the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit together at the table of brotherhood, unless there happens to be another slave owner's son who is similarly qualified, that he should take the slave kid seat, because it's not about quotas. Of course. Great man. Of course. These days, there's still one group of people you're allowed to attack, white guys. Surprise! Case in point, Nevada rancher and extra from Smokey and the Bandit, Cliven Bundy. I know, I like him too. Frequent viewers of my show know that I've been meaning to tell you about Cliven for weeks. But here's the story. Bundy's cattle were seized by the Federal Bureau of Land Management under the flimsy excuse that he's grazed his cattle on federal land for decades and owes $1 million in grazing fees. $1 million to let cows eat? What are they growing in that desert? Lobster tails? But Bundy has a simple explanation for not paying.
I don't recognize the United States government as even existing.
Okay, you can't pay a government if it doesn't exist. especially not with the money that it issued. By bravely standing against the forces of paying your bills, Bundy became a hero to conservatives like Sean Hannity, who turned Bundy's 10-gallon hat all the way up to 11. Jim?
My next guest, Cliven Bundy, is a Nevada rancher waging a battle against the federal government. Back with us tonight, Cliven Bundy. Back with us is the rancher himself, Cliven Bundy. And back with us tonight to respond in a Hannity exclusive is rancher Cliven Bundy. You know, Cliven, I've gotten to know you now over this, as this controversy is unfolding. You and your family seem like really nice people.
Man, Hannity ate up that story so hard, Bundy should have charged him grazing fees. And... thanks to Sean's sympathetic coverage, armed patriots flocked to Bundy's ranch to defend his rights.
We were actually strategizing to put all the women up at the front. If they're going to start shooting, it's going to be women that are going to be televised all across the world getting shot by these rogue federal officers.
Now, that's not as monstrous as it sounds. I'm sure that we're going to protect the women with a line of children. No surprise, the feds did not have the sack to shoot through a lady line, so they packed it in. And at that moment of victory against an encroaching federal government, Cliven Bundy became more than just a man.
There is a growing number of supporters for rancher Cliven Bundy, all vowing to stand behind a man who's become their hero.
A savior, if you will, or at least a symbol of rural America standing up to the federal government. He's a hero, a folk hero, if you will.
Oh, I will. And like every folk hero, he deserves a folk song.
I didn't do that. You put clothes back on top of the bag. You mean he didn't do that?
His name was Cliven Bundy of Bunkerville, Nevada. If you don't know his story, I think you really oughta. See, back in 1993, the feds demanded grazing fees on public land, the Bundy clan used since the 1870s. From the 1953 grants federal authority over all state public property as stated in the Guadalupe Hidalgo Treaty. Cliven couldn't understand, why should he have to pay for land? This land belonged to you and me, that's what he told Sean Hannity. This is the ballad of Cliven Bundy. Take it, Cliven!
I want to tell you one more thing I know about the Negro.
Okay, that's enough of the song.
All right, let's see.
Unfortunately, nothing rhymes with Negro. Okay, let's see. Where were we? Oh, yes, Cliven Bundy. Cliven, what were you saying about our African-American brethren?
They abort their young children. They put their young men in jail because they never learned how to pick cotton. And I've often wondered, are they better off as slaves picking cotton?
Okay, everybody calm down. That's not racist. That's just being consistent. Bundy does not believe in the federal government, so it would be hypocritical for him to believe in the Emancipation Proclamation. And I'm sure he has had a chance to clarify that statement. Jim?
I'm wondering, are they happier now under this government subsidy system than they were when they were slaves and they was able to have their family structure together and a chicken from garden and the people had something to do?
Well, that certainly makes it crystal clear. He left the chickens out the first time. They really tie the whole idea together. The point is, this man is a victim of racism. as he's made clear on the Bundy Facebook page, saying, quote, Cliven is a good man. He loves all people. He is not a racist man. He wants what is best for everyone. Okay? He wants what's best for everyone. And he's just wondering if for some people that's slavery. Is it a crime to wonder now? And folks, my one regret here is that I did not embrace Cliven Bundy sooner like Sean Hannity did. You know, really draw him to my bosom, to link us inexorably together, to hang him around my neck like some kind of lucky dead seabird. But you beat me to it, Sean. You're good, buddy. You're good. Thanks to your nonstop supportive coverage of Bundy, now when anyone thinks of folks who have insight into the Negro, they'll think of Sean Hannity. I mean, these two... These two go together like Ku and Klux. I mean, I salute you, Sean. I salute you for bravely standing by a man whose only crime was breaking federal law. We'll be right back.
Now, listen, what more do you say about it? Listen, how bad is it when Glenn Beck said the man needs to be jackwalked in handcuffs? He's breaking the law.
When crazy is against you, you know.
When Glenn Beck is the same person, I mean, there's something wrong with this picture.
He loses it.
Oh, God.
Hang around your neck.
Okay. We give up. Look at someone else.
That's right.
Anymore.
That's right. That's right.
Now,
well, he won't do as much. Right. He won't do it in that character.
No.
Right.
So,
right. But I'm sure he can figure out a way to get it in. Yeah.
Blend it in with some nice pop culture.
Or they could have skits. See, because it's all skits now. So all the guys are doing skits. So we have to do skits. But and remember, he's one that did it for the other, for John Stewart before he got his own show.
But here's the thing.
But nothing he said was wrong.
And look, Fox. Think about that for a minute. When Bush was in office and 9/11 happened and we get all the USA Patriot Act and all that stuff, you know, they were for rounding up every Muslim, anybody that, you know, even had a beard.
Absolutely.
Have you ever heard the word turban? Round them up too. You know, I remember there were people shooting Sikhs because they looked kind of like a Muslim. You know,
and what if the Sikhs now had guns?
One. Okay, now
guys,
it's good.
Like, you remember Fox News, they and Mike crucified anybody who dared speak against the homeland. You know, anybody who dared criticize subject. And a perfect example of that was the Dixie Chicks. They called for them to be blacklisted in the industry, to lose their deal. They asked the companies to, you know, take away their records and not give
them. The government did that.
And the Fox News, they were saying they should.
Oh, now it's working. I don't know what the hell
story they was. Were. They're even their parents and grandparents should be ashamed of
these
young ladies because they dared say, and all they said was, we're embarrassed of W's behavior and what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they didn't say we hate America, we don't believe in America, and all that. Imagine if they did. Imagine a Democrat saying something like that. I don't believe in America. I don't recognize America, the federal government. Man, they would be. Right,
and then
now,
you have a state senator, a federal senate, a congressman agreeing with this man.
That on Facebook there to me. Treason.
That is treason. How do you say, well, I, you know, they were trying to walk the line. Well, I agree with the concept, but I don't agree with everything. That's completely illogical.
No. No, it's the same way, and this is one of the problems I have with Ron and Rand Paul. Their agenda, their whole platform when they're running was anti-government. And you remember one of their things they rolled out was, you know, when they get there, they want, they're going to dissolve agencies. They're going to get rid of the IRS. Mm-hmm. They're going to get rid of the Environmental Protection Agency. They're going to get rid of the education, you know, because they don't recognize government. They say government is bad. So you're working in the government. You are the government, sir. You're sitting in that chair representing that state. What the are you talking about?
Well, because that but see, it bothers you. You know why? Because everything you were saying was states' rights rhetoric. They wanted to get rid of the government, but because they want the states to be in control. But we will be here to make sure that it doesn't go back to that. We'll be here to make sure that the government never takes over your, never butts into your business anymore. But you states down there, you can do what? Wink, wink, wink.
Yeah, I'm from Mississippi. We have a whole bunch of bumper stickers and stuff down there, you know, that have these, like, odd X's and stuff on them. And they all say things like, the South will rise again. And
it's,
you know,
poison.
Return to the Confederacy and all that. Yeah. So we understand exactly what these people mean when they're talking about states' rights and Confederates. And not,
that's,
you know,
all
so, it is. Let's not have federal oversight. Oh, come on. Please.
When
I
you,
think we had a huge war about this and decided the issue.
The war?
Yeah, I think.
Well.
And you know what's ironic enough? The decider of said war and the defender of said federal government was a Republican. You jerks. You know, the one you shot.
The one that guy said, the tall guy with the big hat. Listen, but here's the thing.
And there was a hat again. But the thing was, Clive, where's the white hat? And
well,
that guy
it grew. It was 10. Now it's 11. The thing is, the thing is that we have these people. Every single person that mentions the word states' rights, you know what they mean.
Yes. I mean, there is no – and that's one thing I think was –
and it's on my code word. Yes, that's a code word. States' rights is a code word. There are no daggone state rights.
There are
none.
You're not saying they're going to have no states' rights.
So, now, and he said, oh, we got them in the back down. We got their Bureau of Land Management back down. No, they said they didn't want to shoot because they could close his bank account, seize his bank account, see, turn off his water.
And there's also this little fact, and I hate to burst their macho bubble. You know, it's kind of like when you watch all those, you know, I like the guy for like a really bad B actor and all his shit, but you know the whole meme that Chuck Norris is better than everybody, stronger than everybody. You know, you're not bad until you're
him is,
bad.
Him
you know.
Is bad wig.
Well,
bad.
Despite that whole, you know, Bundy is bad image stat with the guys like, that's my buddy laying on top of the truck on the roof. You know, look, the government learns a lesson, we'll say, after a few bad scenes, like burning a David Koresh compound to the ground or going in and forcing out militia nutbags like in Ruby Ridge. You know, it's bad press. And, you know, when you're talking to madmen that tell you
what they
for
do.
Sure
is that?
They're going to put a line of women up there,
right.
And then you're going
to... They're
going to
do it.
You're going to... The last thing the government wants, because like you said, there's 100 legal ways they can get him. Through banks, through
absolutely.
Everything else. They're going to sue him into the ground, and he'll never see anything for the rest of his life.
They don't even have to sue him. They just seize it all. He's got nothing.
They do not need women and children in front of pickup trucks on CNN live. Okay? And they know that. So they walked away.
Well,
you know what? Here's the thing we talked about last week. They've got all the time in the world.
Okay, well.
I've seen Carmen. He ain't got that much time.
He ain't got that much time. He's 76. And the other thing is that, who was it? He said, well, you signed me here in the middle of the night. We got, yeah, well, now they said it's still Team 6.
No, look,
go in and cut, what's that? No, cut every other person's throat. Mm. But make sure you get back so first. I mean, so what will they do then? Hey, we were never here. Mm-hmm. Oh, they must have did it. We didn't do that. They do it all the time. Please, you don't think they said still Team 6? Who went in after Bin Laden?
Look, I've seen Bundy and his friend on top of the truck. Okay, I've seen him on TV. any local sheriff's department had 10 times the amount of equipment as these guys.
Well, we got our marksmen. They were there. Well,
they've got everything. They've got tear gas. They've got guns. They could snipe the guy from a mile away while he was still trying to park his truck. You know,
the thing is,
it doesn't matter.
They wouldn't have to do that. They could send in one drone.
No.
What drone? Drone's probably over there right now. Looking at them right now. A drone is looking at them right now. That's all you got to do. So, wait till the women and children get over to the left. And then right there. You can't miss him. His stomach sticks out. That's the one. But this is so ludicrous. How do you say, well, it's the principal. Okay.
It'd be like that thing from Unforgiven. Taking on the stronghold. And every time they go to the bathroom, one less comes back.
One less comes back. You know, and
you don't have to, like, take the group on. You know, wait till they go back to their motel. Right?
A facial recognition. They're not smart like the Taliban covering up the faces. They do facial recognition to every one of the people. And that's, check him out. Where's he at? Okay. Let's close his account. He'll have to sue us to get us open.
Yeah.
Oh, good. That's all right. Let him sue us.
Just wrote down from Wichita. Well, guess what? They're all over him.
Oh, boy.
But
this is what I don't understand. How come they don't think about this? How do they go down there?
They don't think. All they do is that. They literally run around going, you know, I hate, and I'm gonna do something about it. And they don't think at all.
But they want their disability and Social Security check. How does he?
He doesn't recognize the government. What are you talking about?
Well, that means he doesn't file taxes either. So that means if he hasn't made a tax on immigration, has he paid taxes to anybody?
Now here's a real question. Has he driven that truck?
No,
anywhere. On a road.
He said, yeah.
He can't. That's government. But, you know, you're not saying government pays for it.
Now, this is ridiculous. On state roads or city roads.
Mm-hmm. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, so that but the thing is, here's the problem. I don't understand. He gets Medicare.
I hope you all didn't take my dog on blue bag.
He gets Medicare. Unless he's saying for the last 20 years he never paid a dime in income taxes to the federal government.
I mean, you know, the whole
and the federal government says, oh, wait a minute, he owes us $1 million. The land management says he owes $1 million. Oh, and then the IRS holder comes in and says, no. He owes us about $60 million in taxes.
But look, he
has what? How many herd of cattle is that? He got a huge herd.
I saw the little, you know, reports on the guys with them, and they were talking to him, and they were saying things like, you know, we're here to stand up for our rights, you know, the right to bear arms and the right to have a militia and all. You can't.
Yeah, but is that the reason why they were there for him?
No, but listen, those are all United States rights.
How's he recognize the United States?
That you have if you don't recognize the entity which gives you the rights. So their whole thing is bullshit. It's just, it makes me mad. But the thing that is bothersome, instead of this being a lone loon, Fox News turns it into a national event. Because, you know, you get people like this everywhere. I mean, every time, you know, you drive by a trailer park or something, there's some guy out there, you know, that's defending his washing machine in the front yard. But
front yard, or is he just grass front yard?
the car is on cement blocks. However, that's the crap. But, yeah, no, I mean, you know, these people just come on, man. But it's giving them a microphone that bothers me the most. This whole, you know, Fox giving them a national spotlight and a microphone is wrong. Because you see, and that's why they get embarrassed afterwards. They go and turn some kook into a celebrity and then go, oh, my God, he spoke. Well, no joke. You handed him the microphone. What do you think he was going to say? If the guy is standing there screaming that he doesn't recognize the government, he hates them all, come get me or I'm going to shoot you dead, all this kind of stuff, do you not think he's going to say something embarrassing? I mean, really? And, you know, then they get all the, oh, my word, what did he say about the dark man? You know, please, don't give me this. It's just crap.
Wayne Slayer, who is the, I played some of him before, is a, so I'd like to play a little bit of it again. For those who just tuned in, Wayne Slater said that the political, he's the political writer for the Dallas Morning News. This one he said he was on with Stephen, what's his name? No, I can't think of his name. But anyway,
Do we have a sense, again, I'd say this is not the whole conservative movement, this isn't the majority of the conservative movement, but do we have a sense how big that, you know, this sort of group would be?
And that's, we need to think about that. This is obviously not every rancher. This is not every conservative, not every Republican. Obviously, that's the case. But the truth is, it is a fairly substantial intellectual underpinning, which has fed a portion of the party that the more reasonable, moderate, or moderately conservative political types, like our own Rick Perry, like Ted Cruz, George P. Bush is running for land commissioner here, a senator in Nevada we saw, were quick to jump on the bandwagon for political purposes, recognizing or trying to ignore that there is this toxic aspect to where this some of this stuff comes from. How widespread are the racists, the overt racists? That's not very widespread, but it does feed an anti-government sentiment that when you hear them talk about the president as being illegitimate, we know what that means, or the government as not as being lawless, we know exactly what that means. It feeds the rhetoric, and that is widespread on the far right.
Well, I want to pick up what you were saying. You mentioned elected Republicans would express some sort of understanding, sympathy, you know, when it came to Bundy's beef with the Bureau of Land Management, if not his method.
Now, again, Steve, you know most of them are running like scalded dogs.
Right,
so
well, that's exactly what we're getting to. Because today some of them put out statements denouncing his contact. Senator Rand Paul, whose spokesman initially told the New York Times that Paul was not immediately available for comment. That was in their story. Then he told NBC News Today, his remarks on race are offensive, and I wholeheartedly disagree with him. A spokesperson for Republican Nevada Senator Dean Heller was quoted in a New York Times article saying the senator completely disagrees with Mr. Bundy's appalling statements and condemns them in the most strenuous way. So, yes, obviously, look, the great, you know, walk back has begun from any Republican, any elected official who came within, you know, a mile of this guy. But I guess I want to focus on the question of Rand Paul just for a second, James, because this is not the first time, you know, the thing about Rand Paul had this guy on his staff who was known as the Southern Avenger. Remember this? He had the Confederate flag, the comments about Abraham Lincoln and race and all these things. And he, you know, eventually left Rand Paul's staff. Rand Paul was very hesitant to have him leave the staff, very hesitant to say anything, you know, negative about him afterwards. He had Rand Paul, who on this network a few years ago had that incredible interview where he expressed reservations about the public accommodations part of the 1964 Civil Rights Act. So I look at Rand Paul,
right.
At the same time, this is a guy who's made some, you know, steps towards trying to bring, you know, African-American voters in the Republican Party, talked about broadening the base, but this is getting to be a pattern with him.
It is a bit of a pattern. There's no walking back that I think can change what you've just laid out for us in terms of Rand Paul's career and the challenges he's had around racial rhetoric, the kinds of things he's done over this past week in Wisconsin in terms of talking about the prison industrial complex and how it impacts black and brown communities is important work, but it just smacks of being purely political. It smacks of being purely a sort of attempt to pander to or outreach to a specific community every time he sort of gets drawn back into these things. Just to your earlier question, Steve, you know, the Southern Poverty Law Center has documented a rise in these kinds of hate groups, and we certainly have seen studies about the ways in which the Internet has become a space for racial hate to sort of percolate. And so I don't know if we can say whether or not it's widespread, but we can certainly say that Republicans somehow and for some reason believe that these folk, the folk who still hold on to these old school racial ideologies, are a part of their base. I don't even know if that's the fact, but they believe that, and that's why we always see them doing this two-step. This happens all the time. They find a darling. It ends up that this darling has racial views that can be associated with other members of their base, and they have to walk it back. And so I'm not surprised by any of this, but it seems to me not to be very politically smart for them to continue to find themselves in the same situation. Yeah.
they find themselves in a situation because that's the type of people they are. I mean, that's, and that's one thing I have to really take. There's a certain strain of being extremely nice in the
strain. Yeah, it looks like a virus
in the Democratic Party that makes me angry. And it's what he just said. It's the letting off of the hook over and over and over again, because he says Rand Paul has been challenged.
He has on radio for a clown.
Had racially
yes.
challenging speech in
right.
the past.
Oh, yeah.
It's racist.
Of course.
You're
not racist. It's not challenged.
You
try to be nice.
You say
that's challenged.
Yeah. And I hate that they let him off the hook. Just call him out and be done with it. Because this whole thing about when they repeatedly say and do racist things, and then get called on the carpet about it and go, oh, I didn't really mean it.
Well, but
no,
it's the same thing you were saying about the president. Oh, there he is up there with a flag.
The flag he doesn't recognize. What, you know, I mean, come on.
Well, there's so many things wrong about this. How do you not recognize a country as your country, but use their money to pay your bills, mm-hmm. you use their money to get your Social Security check, you use their money, Medicare, when you go to the doctor, don't pay any rent to house your cows, mm-hmm. horses.
And, you know, cows take a lot of land and a lot of grass and a lot of food and water, you know, that you're taking from somewhere. So if it's not you and your land that you paid for and your stuff you're buying, then who's in it?
Who's in it?
Somebody.
Let's. We have a caller in here right here. Hello, is this the Clive and Bundy residence?
What?
Hello, sir. Hello, sir. You're on the air.
Hey, Mike Marshall. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I thought you'd be down here. With Clive and Bundy trying to protect him from this outrageous government we have.
You know, craziness comes in all races, and I think he has a lockdown right now on being crazy.
That's right. It could be mad cow. It could be mad cow disease from that free range cattle. Thomas said, could be.
Well. When we look at it, he owes the citizens of America $1 million.
Well,
he grazes. He has cows grazing on public land, and he refused to pay.
Well, listen. If he hasn't, if he doesn't, who? What? If he what?
Oh, they just had this whole thing. Now they're talking about food stamps
right.
and everything else. But they just had that whole Republican quote about how blacks freeload.
Yeah.
Because they if they can't get a job.
Well, that's what he was saying.
Yeah. But this is
what I don't understand. If he hasn't paid, because this is free country, he hasn't paid, and he doesn't agree to the United States, has he paid income taxes?
Probably not.
Well, that means 20 years, I'll bet you he owes about $10 million in taxes. I mean, this man's a big rancher. He ain't no small rancher.
No.
And does he get paid in American money?
Yes, he does.
U.S. currency. You know, Franklin's and Lincoln's and Washington's.
Every time he sells one of his cattle, he gets paid in God We Trust.
Does he go to the doctor?
I'm
sure he does. If not, well, he needs to go to a shrink, you know.
But
when you reach in your pocket and pull out coins and pull out bills, they say United States of America on them. They don't say, we don't recognize that, Sean.
Yeah, but when I was in Mexico, I converted all my money. I used pesos and whatnot. I understand that. But
what's he converted into? Confederate?
I don't know. That's what I want to know. What is he converted into? And does he get Medicare? He's 76 years old. Does he get Social Security? I mean, this is a question I got to ask. I mean, because if he's riding on a horse with an American flag with 50 stars on it, and he does not believe in the United States of America, what's that all about?
Yeah, I think he was right. Mental illness.
Now, Tom Tillis, has he endorsed this guy that you know of? Marshall?
No, I have. I don't think Tom has endorsed that. That's probably the only thing he hadn't endorsed at this point.
Now, you're up there in a rally, right, where I should be right now. But I didn't get an invite. Did you speak to Mr. Brad Thompson?
I'm getting ready to go out now in about 15 more minutes. I got to get ready to go out there now. I have not seen Mr. Brad Thompson today.
You speak to Mr. Brad Thompson. I'd like to know. I want to know what the deal is. He lost my number? Lost my address? I mean, hey. Maybe he doesn't recognize me or doesn't recognize Charlotte as part of North Carolina.
There you go.
Is that true?
No, that's not true.
Oh, it's not true.
That's not true.
What are you up there doing now? Tell us something about it.
What we're doing?
Yes.
We are helping right now alumni to rediscover those old Rosenwald schools throughout North Carolina, and helping them to purchase them from the counties and to rehab them for some type of a community purchase. So we have several of those we're working with. We had a conference a couple of months ago down in Edington, where it had probably about 160 people to show up that had an interest in preserving their school. Even though the only one that's an active school now is the one in Robeson County, it still holds. I think Senator Blue attended that school, so it's been in operation a long time.
Down there in Robeson County.
Yeah.
You have a good friend down there.
The school's in Fairmont.
Oh, Fairmont, okay.
Yeah.
Sponsoring this?
Huh?
What organization are you there up with? What this is the yearly banquet.
Well, we are the Rosenwald Coalition. Okay.
Okay.
And what we do is consult with those alumni who are trying to purchase the school. We do negotiation with the counties for the schools for them on their behalf.
Right.
And what we then would do is to help them to do fundraising and that kind of activity so that they can secure the school.
Right.
And in a lot of instances, the school is donated by the county. But then there are a lot of those schools that are on private properties. They're usually farm. People are using them for houses. They're using them for storage bins and feed barns and everything else. Those are the difficult ones because they are on someone else's land and not the county land.
It's almost like a Clive Bundy then.
Well, no. These are rational, sound people that we're talking about. We're not talking about people that have mental problems. we're not talking about them. And we're working on schools down in around in Pantego and up in, I think that's west of Greensboro in Rockingham County and Hereford County, Northampton right at this point. Craven County also.
Well, when's your next meeting? You need to tell me about it so you can come on the air and talk about it. We'll have a discussion about that.
Well, right now we're setting up projects for the alumni. We're working with the alumni now, set up projects. Mm-hmm. We have a project that we hope to get kicked off in Southern Virginia near what is the name of that little town? South of 95, and they have a Rosenwald school, and they own the school, but we're helping them to come up with some type of a plan. Now, for instance, the schools that we have worked with, the one in Stokes County is now a It's called Walnut Cove Colored School. It's now a senior health center. And the town
now, where's
Walnut...
where is that at? Uh-huh. North, south, east, west?
Yeah, it's off of 52 outside of Winston-Salem. You go up 52,
okay,
and you just about can see the school from Highway 52. But
okay,
it's been completely renovated, and the town uses it, and the county uses it as a senior health center. So
okay,
the alumni are maintaining it through the revenue they're getting from the lease of the building. And that's our intention for each one of them, to maintain the building through the lease and other activities going on in the building. So that's our goal. So we consult with those folks. And we are the Rosenwald Coalition of North Carolina.
Well,
I
guess a very good...
We're located at 205 Fayetteville Street, Raleigh, NC, 276-110.
How can they donate if they want to donate to help you?
Send it to that address.
Okay. Is there a phone number?
919-749-7627.
Okay. That works very good. And before you go, I just want you to listen to this short clip from your friend and I, Clyde Bundy.
Harry, get your army out of Nevada. Get your army away from my ranch and off Clark County public land and keep it out. And if they come, we'll deal with them tonight. Every county sheriff across the United States disarm the federal bureaucrats. Take the federal United States bureaucrats' guns away.
I do break federal laws, evidently, if they're really laws. These feds, I don't recognize their jurisdiction or authority, so no, I wouldn't go with them.
I'll reiterate the fact that this man has a mental problem, and he should be seen as soon as possible by psychiatrists.
How many other Clive and Bundys are out there?
There are many of them. All of those people standing out there with them, they could be considered Clyde Bundy because they're not dealing with the truth. They're not dealing. You know, Mike, I don't know if you watched the debates the other night between the Republican candidates or not.
No, I didn't see that.
Each one of them, they said the same thing. And ending their debate about what would they do if they were elected, they all said,
right,
I would recall the healthcare program, and they closed their statement with that. Now, you've got probably over 8 million people that have now qualified for the health program. Now, what are you going to do with those people?
Well,
so I went back. As you know, I'm a social worker, licensed by profession. And I went back to read a portion of a book, and it's called The Road to Social Security. President Roosevelt had some of the same naysayers that only they weren't called Tea Party people at that time, but they acted and performed just like the Tea Party and the Republicans. Mm-hmm. Most of the Republicans that were in Washington at that time were very negative about the Social Security program. Now, you got to remember that Social Security came about in a most positive manner because 99% of Americans, unless you work for one of the major companies like the auto industry or work for the railroad, there was only a pension, and the other folks didn't have any kind of thing to support them once they had quit working. So you had all those folks. And remember, we were coming out of a very deep recession, and all of these things were happening at the same time. And
right,
those same kind of folks that are hollering about the health plan at this point are the same folks that hollered about Social Security. Now, many of those people are still enjoying the benefits that Social Security brings them. And the security. Before that was nothing. So I, if they get the House, the Senate, they're going to try to repeal the health laws. But when you talk about repealing something or get rid of something, you need to have something to replace it. I have yet to hear any Republican or Tea Party person come up with a solution to replace it.
But
so with that, Mike.
Have. I mean, I spoke to a gentleman I know for 45 years last night. He's a Republican. He said, "Oh no, we've had plenty of health care proposals, and they won't let it out of the Senate." That's nonsense. They never made a health care proposal. I mean, it's just fair, but people believe that.
They do have. I mean, their proposal is you're on your own, and if you're rich, you can buy health care.
I mean, it's just completely lunatic. And you said the 8 million, that's the exchanges. There's over 3 million, 4 million now in Medicare, the Medicaid that has been pushed out. And we're not talking about the 7 million more in private health care. And people have quit their jobs because they no longer need to work to pay for their health care. You're not even talking. People not even talking about that. They say they quit their job because they wouldn't get health care. The company wouldn't give health care. That's absolute nonsense. People can pay for health care now. They don't need to go to their job to get it. See? So we're up to like 15 million people. And they keep saying new people have bought it. Yes, new people have bought it because they can afford it now. And they don't need to work.
Well, you know, Mike, the Republicans have broken it down as to who will be successful in with the health care. They have broken down into percentages of people who will not pay their insurance, and looking at how many people are there are not enough young people in the system. The most of the people are older. And all of these facts, nobody knows yet because I can't see them, the demographics on where people are, you know, who's what. None of that's been happened. The people haven't, I think, until, was it May, to pay their premiums, I believe.
Right.
So
yep.
they'll, you know, you move forward from that. But the whole thing is about, and I'm going to end with this, W.E.B. Du Bois talked about it. He said that the problem of the 20th century would be the problem of the 21st century. President Obama is a black man, and that's the problem.
Absolutely. Amen to that. Thank you, Mr. Marshall Harvey. And you're still the Soil and Water Commissioner, right?
Yes, I am.
And where are you at, Soil and Water Commissioner at?
Wake County.
Wake County. Are you running this year?
Yes.
Oh, you are. Okay. You running against somebody, or you got it in the bag?
Well, we don't file until June, so I don't know yet who's going to be out there.
Well, then you need to call in here so we can get some publicity.
I will call in again, Mike. Surely will. It's always good to talk with you, brother.
Yep.
I got a real one.
I wish you were, too.
I wish you were. And I'm sorry about that. And I'm going to talk with Courtney Crowder.
Yes.
Asked him, had he sent longtime folks invitation? He said he had. So, but anyway, we'll try again. All right. See you later.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right.
And Marshall Harvey, Soil and Water Commissioner in Wake County, North Carolina. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go. We had a wonderful, wonderful Friday. It's my birthday week.
Happy birthday, Mike.
Shirley Temple and I were born on the same day.
Nice.
But Shirley Temple has passed this year.
And she also has a cuter curly lock.
That's right. Absolutely. Good ship, Lollipop. Okay, we're on the good ship, Lollipop. And we're heading out the door. Ladies and gentlemen,
you run with the boat.
I'm going to see if I can be a freeloader. Well, no, I can't do that because I have to maintain my cotton patch and my garden and my six chickens.
And unfortunately, you've been doing it wrong all these years.
I've
been paying your taxes.
I've been, yeah.
What were you thinking?
Oh, God.
You could have just squatted here.
I could have just...
Let me know, a little love.